From the First Midwest Bank Studio on State Street, this is WMVP WSAG HD2, Chicago, home of the AL Central champion White Sox. The playoffs play here starting October 7th.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
All right, so much to get to today. Bears conversation and the phones have been hot and heavy for the last couple of weeks.
Hot and heavy.
And we'll see the way this week will continue.
I thought we were breaking down Bulls basketball.
I am excited. I mean, don't pan that. Don't mock that. Tonight's my first look. It doesn't mean, you know, much, except I get to sort of have my Bulls boner out. I mean, if you will. Can I say that? My bullhorn out? I need to get my bullhorn out.
I think that's a better phrase.
Yeah.
I thought you said balls, the first word.
No, no. No. My bullhorn's out tonight.
Okay, no, I thought you said, hey, Spider. No, I thought you said something different.
Look, I got a good night of TV. I got a lot going on today. We got festivities.
You're
with SIU.
You're
going to
be doing it like
today.
A big dog today. Come by the State Street Studio. Get your picture taken with Sylvie. $10 a head.
The Saluki Chancellor is going to be here. Then I've got an event, and we're taking a picture outside the First Midwest Bank Studio. I've got my SIU pull-up on. And tonight I am MC. What now? What are you laughing at me now?
It's a pullover, not a pull-up.
Pull-up. You know why I'm used to saying pull-up is because my youngest wears a pull-up at night still.
As do I.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, you don't have your SIU pull-up if you do.
My pullover, yes. My pullover.
Let's start over.
All right.
Hold Ladies on. And gentlemen,
can,
welcome like, in.
Can you get the bumper music going on, again, Chris? Over. Here, let's do this over. Again. Take two and three.
You're
two,
listening to Waddle one. And Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
Yeah.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
It's like a man.
Whack that thing.
Press conference around here.
Start making fun
hey,
of
them. Sylvie, did you call plays this weekend, or did you pass that off to somebody else?
Yeah, again, that goes back to what we talked about internally for the whole week, is whatever I can do for the best thing for the Bears, whatever that is. And I think that, again, for us, I think big...
It was really, Matt Nagy was like, whatever you can do, I can do better. Anything you can do, I can do too. I mean, that's what it was when I was listening back to that. So I want to get into the job status, the job security, the national sort of, you know, I hate the word narrative. I think it is overused. I think people, you know, just say someone's got a narrative when they simply have an opinion on matters.
Let's find a different word.
Like, quote, narrative. Hey, Sylvie, there's this narrative out there. Matt Nagy is being beaten up, not just locally, but nationally. And rightfully so. This is no longer, like, when we were joking about, I'm not an idiot.
National commentary?
No, I think national opinion. I think... the majority of opinions. I don't think anyone just forms a narrative for the sake of forming a narrative. There are too many people who assume that these days. Like, I think people look down on that term narrative. I don't think the Bears are in good hands with him. I don't think Justin Fields is in good hands with him. I don't believe Bears fans are in good hands with him. And I mean, look, maybe you said this the other day. That you think what Ryan Pace could teach him, if anything, because Ryan Pace isn't great at his job, is to simply say, stop talking so much.
Ryan Pace is still his boss. Like, I told you the other day, like, and I get it. I know that they are, you know, they're very tight and they see life in a comparable way. But at the end of the day, he still reports to Ryan Pace. And if I'm Ryan Pace, I sit down and we have a conversation, A, about how he handles his press conferences, and B, please explain to me again what your quarterback plan is.
See, that's where I believe they're in lockstep. Okay. I believe they talk every day, And they're the Wonder Twin powers activating, and they believe that their plan is their plan is their plan. Because, dude, they came up with their plan together. Mm-hmm. They came when they drafted him. Who knows? Maybe Ryan Pace wants to throw Nagy under the bus. Maybe Ryan Pace, just as he was given by ownership another chance to fix the quarterback, the guy who missed on Mahomes, the guy who missed on Watson, believe it or not, was given another chance to draft a quarterback. Maybe ownership will give him another chance to pick a coach.
Well, like, look.
As crazy as it sounds, because I believe Ryan Pace is even worse at his job than Matt Nagy. But with this team, you never know.
I think that they both have a lot to prove this season. Now, again, like, you know how I feel. I'm probably still in the minority. I don't think job security becomes an issue until you have an extended period of chaos. And we're on the cusp of that. We're on the doorstep of that. But right now, they're 2-2. If you go to Las Vegas and beat a Raiders team that I think they can beat, then you're 3-2. My guess is Justin Fields is going to be the quarterback this week. If you go 2-0 over the last 2 weeks with a rookie quarterback and you've gotten to over 500, they start to feel differently about themselves.
And then
there,
you replace him for the Packers game. That's where, to me, you've got the fork in the road. Like, if you want to play this record thing out, like, here's my question for the listeners, and then I want to play a sampling of the national media's. You've always said, Waddle, for a variety of reasons, that you don't believe the pressure is as great up at Hallis Hall. The hot seat is as hot. You've been right about that.
Barring disaster.
Right. So, and this is something that Dan Weederer has brought up to us. The two guys who run this team, George McCaskey at the top, Ted Phillips right below him, who make decisions, who hire and fire guys. What do they want to see from Matt Nagy most, from Ryan Pace most, from this season to keep their job?
Wins.
That's it. It's
asked me what they want.
That's what I'm asking.
Right. Yeah, and I think that my interpretation of what they want is to win games. That's what George said.
Well, it's another thing where we're all, again, you're looking at the long-term success of the franchise. They have shown you that they're aware that they're capable of doing that with the stadium deal. It's not about today. It's not about just today. It's about this bright future of owning your own stadium.
Yes.
So why would they put the long-term future ahead of, or why would they put the 1 year of winning games ahead of sort of doing both your young quarterback?
Why have they won how many playoff games in how many years?
Exactly. What is it, three?
It's not many.
It's two in the Lovey year that they went to the Super
Bowl.
And it's one with Jay Cutler in the 2010 season to get to the NFC Championship game.
The answer to your question, separated from trying to interpret what they feel up at Hallis Hall, is that they have not succeeded over the course of a significant period of time, which in my world would lead to significant change. They don't have the appetite for it at this moment.
See, but if you're smart and you're in the football business and you say, why have we only won three playoff games in the last, since Ditka or whatever it is, since Ditka, I think it is. Think about that. Or since the 95, I think it is, since you guys won a game in that 94 season.
Right. Went to San Francisco, got housed.
So since 1995, I believe they've won three playoff games. Okay, that's 25 years, 25-plus years. So if you say, why haven't we won more than three playoff games in the last 25 years? The answer is because we haven't gotten it right at quarterback. So why would you want to go back to a journeyman quarterback who is here for 1 year to just go 9-8 and to lose in the first round of the postseason if he can go 9-8. I truly don't believe even Andy Dalton can go 9-8. Why wouldn't you want to continue the growth that all the people are saying nationally? Steve Young, Hall of Famer. Jimmy Johnson, Hall of Famer. Play the kid. Build on the success. Protect him. He may not be I've always said, he's ready to start, but he may not be ready to star. There's a big difference. You're going to have bumps, but he's ready to start. Why wouldn't the organization look at it from that common sense standpoint?
You'd have to ask them.
You know, like, well, that's what I can't wrap my brain around.
Well, I mean, the head coach has told you consistently, and he's the only guy that feels that way, is that Andy gives them the best chance to win overall. So, I mean, look, they are, you'd have to ask, and they, when you ask him, they give you the same, this is our plan. Like, we don't have to like the plan, but they haven't wavered on their plan.
Listen to this. This is Marcus Spears today from GetUp. I want to give you guys a sampling, then we'll get to your calls. Now's a good time to get in line because we have a few free lines at 332-3776. You wonder if George, after this has been a story in Chicago for the last couple of years, like I was saying, I'm not an idiot. Did you watch the Colts game? All these missteps, the kicking derby, which was silliness. Not giving up on the run game. It was a nice, cute local story. Nobody was bothering them on a national level. Right now, Matt Nagy is the number one punching bag on all the opinion shows, whether it's Fox, whether it's ESPN, whether it's the NFL Network. Here's Marcus Spears this morning on Get Up.
Yeah, Nagy, do what the hell you want to do, man. Don't nobody know nothing. You the only one know what to do. Don't nobody else know nothing. We ain't watch nothing. We don't have evidence. Nothing. Just go in the courtroom and tell the judge I'm innocent. And don't worry about the jury. Don't worry about the. They ain't gonna record the damn the case. They not gonna even have the lady up there getting the sign language. They not gonna have the lady on the typewriter. They ain't gonna have none of that. Matt Nagy, you do what you want to do. This is your NFL. This is your friend. Matter of fact, you started the damn Chicago Bears. You built the stadium. You got all the parking lot lines put down outside of the stadium. You do what you want to do, Matt Nagy, because we don't know nothing. We don't know nothing. All we know is that Bill Lazor called plays and Justin Fields looked like he could play football. That's all we know. Other than that, Matt Nagy, you do your damn thing. I don't have nothing else to say, y'all. I'm going to drink my coffee and listen to y'all talk about why Matt Nagy know what the hell he doing, because obviously he don't.
National punching bag. They're making fun of us. They're making fun of the head coach of the Chicago Bears, who's oblivious to how you groom a quarterback. Here's Steve Young. He wasn't laughing and joking, but he is a guy who went through a lot of growing pains in Tampa. When he first got into the league, he was running for his life. And then he went to San Francisco. He became a Hall of Famer. Here's what he has to say about the Bears quarterback situation. This was right in the middle of their Monday night preview. Their Monday night football, they're on the stadium at SoFi, and they're talking about Matt Nagy mishandling this.
Commit to trying to save your job at some point and win games.
Why wouldn't you commit to what is going to be the future now?
Because of his job. It's really simple.
Fired at it?
Because they don't want to break him. They don't want to break him. They don't want to break him before he's ready. Like, he goes out there.
Did he look like a ready guy yesterday?
Yesterday, he did.
Well, look, that's, you build off of that. Trust me. I've been under siege before. You build off it, and you can start to get yourself above water and start to breathe. The only way you can do that is play. You put him back on the bench and sit, you can't stay up to speed.
There you go. They take it from a Hall of Famer. You build off of it, and you wonder what is going on in that building. And what, like, and that's like when I hear... was that Booger? Booger was saying...
Booger and Shefty.
Why doesn't he want to play him? Because he's, of his job. I think right at the beginning he said... And that's what I want to get down to. Like, what are the parameters for him keeping his job? Like, really going 8-9 with Andy Dalton gets you your job? And now we got to go through the same stupidity next year? I want to play you some Rich Eisen when we come back. Your phone calls, 332-3776. Do you believe that now that there's all this yelling nationally, there's all this making fun of the Bears nationally, that this will impact the decision-making up at Halas Hall? We'll get into that coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. On Twitter.
I want to play you some Rich Eisen, too. I played you some Spears. I played you some Steve Young from yesterday. Everyone's taught this is like one of the top National Football League stories. I mean, they played the highlights on Get Up of the Patriots-Brady game on Monday. And the second story was Justin Fields and, can you believe, Matt Nagy. Today, the first story was, hey, the Chargers' big win against the Raiders. The second story, again, was, hey, can you believe Matt Nagy is going to go back to Dalton? It's crazy, and you just brought up a great point at the break.
Well, I mean, the only thing I was saying, like, the national guys are now on this. Like, we, you know, look, we live in the town, so it's going to be more readily available and more obvious to us than the national guys. But Matt Nagy spent a lot of time in the offseason and leading up to this season. He spent the majority of his time talking to the national guys and not the local guys.
Right.
And I think there was a little bit more of a love affair with the national guys than there is with the local guys, because there's been a lot more criticism here locally. So almost he found comfort in talking to the Rich Eisens and the other national people with great reputations and do great jobs. And you know, guys that haven't, I think, looked at what has transpired over here over the last year plus with a microscope the way that we have,
right,
because we live here. Well, I mean, welcome to the party, folks.
Well,
I
do guess you know why what, the well, why they've been in, why they've joined us in the party? It's because of Justin Fields. Justin Fields, sure, makes them relevant. If they didn't draft Justin Fields, we would be off their radar.
Yes.
If we didn't have a young quarterback, you know what I mean?
Yes.
All these shows are obsessed with the progressions of the young quarterback,
no
and
doubt.
Justin Fields was as big as any of them from playing at a big school, from having success from high school to college.
And again, like, they've basically handled Trey Lance kind of the same way that they've handled Matt Nagy here, and the difference is that nationally people trust Kyle Shanahan. Not only that, but I can make a differentiation as well. If you watch Trey Lance, I've told you this from watching him in the preseason to watching him in spot duty, he is like ridiculously raw. He may turn out to be the best of them all. He is more raw than like than rare meat.
Well, look at where he played. He played at the 1AA level, and he played one college game in 2020.
Right. My point is that when you compare his body of work coming into the league with Justin's, it's entirely different. But Kyle Shanahan is going to be given the benefit of the doubt with how he's handling that situation. We're not, and rightfully so.
Yeah, and so here is Rich Eisen, who alludes to liking Matt Nagy. Again, we always have started this, that we
Everyone likes him
as a guy. I've always joked that I would love him as a neighbor. I just don't love him calling plays and making decisions on Justin Fields' future, and I don't trust him offensively. Here's Rich Eisen zooming in on our Bears and how crazy it is at what Matt Nagy is doing and how no one can make any sense out of it.
Oh, boy. Let me just say this. I really like Matt Nagy a lot. He's been great to come on this show. He sent us the visor that he wears because we told him, hey, you're part of the Bald Brotherhood. We think you should wear a ball cap, man. You need to you could protect the dome. So let me help him protect the dome. I'm not, again, in the meeting rooms. I'm not in the film rooms. I've just been around this game enough 18 years and know what fans think and how this all works. This reminds me of Anthony Lynn last year after Justin Herbert came in for Tyrod Taylor and he kept pounding the table for Tyrod Taylor. And we're all sitting there going, what are you doing? Where's Anthony Lynn now? Coordinating the offense in Detroit. This is going to get you got, Matt Nagy. And the crazy thing is they drafted him and he's got the opportunity. You got another year. Like, attach yourself to the hip. The whole country's going to know if you can. The whole country's going to watch this thing and we're going to, everyone's going to give him a pass. Because it's his first year. We all understand it. I mean, if they put Dalton back in, I do not, it just doesn't compute. I can't even find the words. It's my job to find words for a living. That's what gets coaches got in this league. Got to keep going with it. Justin Fields, keep going. Bears fans are excited. You're going to tell them, here comes more medicine? They want the spoonful of sugar. Yeah, I just quoted Mary Poppins. Again, I'm trying to find words. I'm trying to find words. I'm going with Julie Andrews. This doesn't compute.
The hills are alive.
I mean, yeah, super califragilisticexpialidocious, Rich.
All right, I don't get it. It's all I'm saying. I don't get it.
He's speaking us old guys' language right now.
Yeah. Think about this. This is the lead analyst on the NFL Network who doesn't have the words to describe what Matt Nagy is doing. If he would develop Justin Fields, he would get more benefit of the doubt, and then you're attached. If you find a way to, by the end of the year, to look great with Justin Fields and move him along and win some games along the way and know at the end of the year, like the Chargers found out, that, yes, Herbert was indeed the answer. And now all of a sudden they're in first place in his second year because they're off and running now with the developed quarterback. It's an ongoing process. You would think Matt Nagy would say to himself, the best way for me to keep my job is by sticking with the kid.
You would also think that the best way to get the most out of the kid against a very good Cleveland front would be to play some 6, 7, 8-man protections, get him out on the... Like, I mean, we can look at all these things and say, you would think this would be the path. They always go the other direction.
Well, that's why it's fireable, and that's why it doesn't compute. Angry Matt on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Matt? Hello, Matt.
He must not be that angry.
Yo, sorry, mute.
Oh, there he
mute. Is. He's angry. Listen, it actually computes in Matt Nagy's mind. He's just trying to buy time. If they were to actually play Fields and he failed to develop him like we've seen him do in the past, he's out after this year. And although I think this guy, Pace, is on board right now. Pace will throw him under the bus in a second as soon as he realizes, or as soon as ownership turns on Nagy. So the fact that they are that he's trying to slow roll Fields' development, again, does not surprise me one bit. It's logical in his mind. Excuse me.
Matt, are you choking on some food? What were you doing while you were waiting?
I was running. Sorry, I'm out running.
You're out for a run. Okay.
It's an angry run.
And you're trying to catch your breath. Yeah.
I see those.
Yeah,
on,
sorry.
How far have you gone so far?
Probably about 2 miles.
All right. What kind of pace? What kind of pace are you setting?
I'm old. I got old knees. Not waddle old knees, but I got old knees. So it's a nice slow pace.
I have more hip problems than knee problems.
I'm getting there. Give me another year. I'll be right there with you.
You don't want
that. Look at it. So, this, again, none of this, it's illogical to anybody on the outside looking in, but the fact that they are trying to just buy themselves time should not shock us. I will tell you this, all this noise about Nagy, and right now it's just noise, because if they get rid of him, but they allow Pace to stay and hire his replacement, we're having to record this because we're going to have the same conversation in about 4 years.
If they get rid, like, I'm serious about this. If they get rid of Matt Nagy and they keep Ryan Pace, I may consider divorcing this team for good.
I'm a season ticket holder. I didn't mention season.
You never divorced the Cubs.
I boycotted for a year in 06.
That's not divorce.
That's a separation.
Good separation.
See, this is where I deviate from others. Like, I am a complete believer in incompetence. I don't believe in this is like a devious plan. I just don't.
Neither do I.
I just think, like, Matt thinks that this is intentional. I think this guy believes with his full soul that this is what's best for everybody.
Well, his soul is bad at offense.
All right.
His soul is bad offensively.
I'm just telling you, like, the discussion that was out there about he was doing this intentionally. Like, I just think that you can decide that this is full and utter incompetence, and that will serve as the explanation. That's all you need.
Yeah.
You don't need to careen into the conversation that this is devious and like he just isn't good at decisions.
Well, that's how asinine it is that people are making up things to try to explain it because it doesn't, as Rich Eisen say, compute. Rick in Blue Island, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how's it going?
We're good.
Hey, listen.
It's a Victory Tuesday, Rick.
Long time listener, first time caller. I'm 65 years old. And when my mother sent me home, she sent me home in a Bears romper. So that's how long I've been a Bears fan.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know what Nagy can do that the front office can see why he's going to stay on. But I do know one thing. I know this. I know I'd rather have a healthy tooth pulled out at the root than to hear him behind a microphone talking about the Bears or quarterback. That's my statement.
It's crazy. Nice. Rick, they're making fun of us. You and your Bears romper. And, you know, all the golden years when you grew up, they're all making fun of us now. They were making fun of us with Trestman. I got to apologize to Big Cat again today. They're making fun of us. They're making fun of our coach.
They're killing us. And when I was in Cleveland, I drove down to Cleveland for the game. I had my, you know, I had my rooting hat on. And they got killed.
Rick, did you have
I didn't have a romper on.
Okay.
Yeah, but I tell you what, they killed us on the field, and those fans in the stands killed us up in the stands. It was horrible.
Yeah, Rick, thank you. 312-332-3776. Want to continue and build the conversation if you're a Bears fan. Rich Eisen, I thought, summed it up best. It doesn't compute. You can't even rationalize what they're going for here. Steve Young tells you on Monday Night Countdown that as a young quarterback, you build off the growth. And then Marcus Spears is just making fun of Matt Nagy for being a know-it-all. Phone number to reach us is 312-332-3776.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I was debating with some people in the Twitch chat. You can watch us inside the First Midwest Bank.
Was
the
Cleveland
studio.
Guy? Cleveland guy
Cleveland
coming
David.
At you again?
Cleveland David, yeah. Cleveland David is my arch nemesis inside the...
Quite a steamer in there, isn't it?
He visits us, and I appreciate that he listens. I'm cool with anybody disagreeing. I heard it. It was well done.
Thank you.
Sometimes you don't need to draw attention to a good line.
I wasn't. I was giving him the finger because he was acting like my dad.
Oh, really? Solid. After the trombone reference is in a promo? Yeah. I mean, come on now. Come on. You can't mention steamer?
Yeah. Listen.
If we're going with trombones and promotions, we can mention the steamer.
Yeah, the old, Waddle just steamer. Needs to work on his jokes. He's a little rusty.
And to clarify, we weren't the ones that brought that up.
I
like that. I wasn't about to hit the dump button for that.
So you can watch
send
us.
Send the heat my way anyway.
Everyone's arguing.
Just send it my way.
First Midwest Bank Studio, you can watch us. The cool part is... For the most part, is you could interact with other listeners. Make sure when you go to twitch.tv or you download that Twitch app, you go to our channel. Our channel is ESPN 1000 Chicago. This week it's brought to you by Vitacost. Use promo code Carmen15 to get 15% off.
Carmen15.
1515. And make sure you follow us on ESPN 1000 Chicago. But the cool part is you could interact with other listeners and us. I always go to Twitter. See, I like to get feedback. I like opinions from other people. I don't believe that we should all agree with each other. It's better when we all have different sides.
So what's the steamer sending your way?
He's saying that I'm cherry picking the national takes.
Well, we could probably play a national take from here till 6 o'clock before we get out of here, and pretty much consume every second.
Look, I don't. You tell me though where they are. Where are the people? I mean, this was asinine on the other side. Stephen A. on First Take. They were debating last week whether or not Justin Fields should demand a trade from the Bears after one start. That's stupid. Okay, but that's what they were even throwing out there. Stupid. But it's out there. You could find more stupidity like that than you could find someone saying, Matt Nagy's playing this exactly right. Matt Nagy's good at calling plays. Matt Nagy has realized himself he's so bad at calling plays that he has fired himself twice.
That's got to be hard to do. Fire yourself twice?
Yes. You know, he is George Steinbrenner and Billy Martin all wrapped up in one.
He's Billy Steinbrenner.
He is that's what the game was. Except Billy Martin won with the Yankees. Yes. For those who are too young, back in the 70s when the Yankees were dominant. Billy Martin was.
They would fire him every other year.
And he'd come back and they'd win a World Series and stuff. And Billy Martin was nuts and George Steinbrenner was nuts.
But it usually resulted in at least a good ALC championship series appearance.
Like Matt Nagy reclaimed the play calling at the end of last season. He then got into a room and soul searched and said, how can I get better as a play caller? And he took months and months and months.
You can hand that sheet to Bill Lazor, the great Bill Lazor.
He took months and months and months coming up with the whys. And he says, I'm going to be good enough. I'm going to be strong enough. And gosh darn it, people love me as a play caller. And it took him three damn games to fire himself. Three games. So
almost a murder of a young quarterback.
If you think that this is cherry picking, offer me, tweet me some videos of competent people saying that the Bears are playing this exactly right, offensive play calling and picking the quarterback at this point. Gregory on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Greg?
Hey, what's up, guys, man? Sylvie, you were asking a question about, like, the Bears were, what they were thinking, and you were using logical situations. I would like to know, why are we thinking that the Bears thinking anything logical when over the years, not just this stint, but since before this, where they don't do things logical? Why are we thinking that they're going to do something logical?
It's the game that Waddle hates the most. I start yelling at Waddle, and Waddle's playing them. And Waddle looks at me and goes, dude, I'm just playing them. They don't understand this.
Well, you're asking me, why are they? And all I can, if you're asking me to give you their perspective, and I give you their perspective, I mean, I know you're not mad at me. You're at their mad at their perspective.
I just can't understand
it. Is what it, I know.
Like, it's just that whole, we're, like, you're not a boob. I'm a boob.
No, I'm a boob.
And I've got giant boobs these days. You could see it on Twitch. People were making fun of my pizza body the other day.
I think the best part of Twitch right now, tell me that Sylvie's face and the color of his pullover aren't one and the same right now.
Oh, really?
The Bears have done that to you. The Bears have turned you maroon.
Yeah, like, Greg, I am not someone who should ever get near a football team to run a football team at any level. There's no reason you should ever. But when I could think more logically than everybody in that organization, from the owner to the president to the general manager to the head coach, what the hell is wrong with
you
this?
You would like to see the head coach have the same self-awareness when it comes to putting together an offensive game plan and play calling. You would like for him to have the same revelation that he needs to step aside from it and turn it over to somebody else.
And he did do that finally. Yeah, go ahead.
So they do this over and over, and we keep looking for change. Who's insane? Us or them?
No, look, we have no other choice. I mean, like, Waddle looked at me when I said, look, we could divorce them, but is our life really better without Bears football?
You're not going to divorce them.
No, I'm not. Yeah, absolutely. I've been a Bears fan. I'm 64 years old, and I've been a Bears fan since I was, like, 8 or 9 years old. So, I've been following, but I know this team. And this stuff doesn't surprise me because they do stuff stupid. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, are they doing this on purpose or are they just that stupid?
Well, I think that you've answered the question, Gregory, because they're not doing this on purpose. They're doing this because there's a level of incompetence there that repeats itself.
The lack of common sense. Right, right. Cap was actually doing, he went through, you know, you know where I feel on this. It starts at the top. And he was going through this. They hire Ryan Pace. They say, hey, you're a new up-and-coming young general manager. But you know what? Don't pick your head coach. We're going to pick one for you. Like, how does that make common sense?
It doesn't.
Bruce Arians is the reigning coach of the year. He's in the building. And you say, we want to go with a Canadian football guy. Because Bruce Arians is wanting to do a mock press conference. You know, you go back to Phil Emery. They go, look, Jerry Angelo, you took us to the Super Bowl. You were a first general manager since Jerry Vinici. You lasted a long time. You had a good run. We're going to replace you. Here's Phil Emery. Hey, Phil, by the way, you can't fire your head coach. You got to take the job and you got to. We know you don't want him as a coach. You can't fire him, though. Like, none of this makes sense. And Gregory's right. It's just same crap, different year.
And that's the definition of incompetence.
And that's why you only win 3 playoff games in 25 years.
Yeah, it's not because
cherry picking.
It's not because somebody's trying to sabotage anything. It's because you're just not capable of having the answers to the test questions.
Mark in D.C., you're on ESPN 1000. Mark, what's up?
Hey gentlemen. So I guess I have a multi-part question. First of all, I want to know if maybe just like the workout rooms, maybe Pace and Nagy are turning the TVs off Monday through Friday at Hallis Hall, so that George and Ted can't see what's going on and they can't hear the national media. But are George and Ted watching the games on Sunday and Monday nights? You got the Cleveland Browns, they had 4 wins in 3 years before Baker Mayfield. Then they switched head coaches 4 times with Baker. Then they got a new GM, and they got a new coach, Kevin Stefanski, and now look at them. You got Brandon Staley and Joe Lombardi, who took a 5-win Chargers team and a rookie quarterback, and now look at them. Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury doesn't even have an offensive coordinator at the Cardinals, who had 16 total wins in 3 years before Kyler Murray. And now look at them, and you got Sean McDermott and Brian Daboll in Buffalo with their new quarterback. And look at them. And all of these teams are small market compared to Chicago. And meanwhile, we're still dealing with the same damn thing, and we've gone through two quarterbacks. And it makes no sense to me. Like, you don't have to watch the media. Just watch the damn games.
Mark, it's like, it's just like Weederer said, Dan Weederer, about finding Justin Fields. It's like they stumbled upon this lottery ticket that was on the ground that has all the winning numbers, and they don't want to cash it in. Instead, they would rather spend the money in their own wallet. They don't want to cash this lottery ticket. It's the thing that they have. It's the most important thing, and you don't want to cash the ticket.
What they will tell you is that the Arizona Cardinals were 13-18-1 the last 2 years, and the Chicago Bears were 16-16 and went to the playoffs once, something that the Cardinals
And I will tell them the only undefeated team left in the NFL is the Cardinals because they went through the growth process of Kyler Murray, and now they're ready to go.
Trying to show you what they've constantly have. This is what they're thinking.
Yeah, it drives me crazy.
It's not a common sense approach, yeah. But they have an answer for all of this.
I do have a young quarterback question, too, in the wake of watching Justin Herbert. I want to throw this out at you. If you want to weigh in on the Bears conversation and how to make sense of any of this, and Matt Nagy, here's a treat. Remember, says he's speaking now every Wednesday. So tomorrow.
Load up for tomorrow. Tomorrow's the day to bring the blood pressure cuff.
Yeah. We got to do that.
I know.
Check
Remind
the blood
me.
Pressure.
I'll bring it in.
312-332-3776. But which young quarterback would you rather have? And I want to throw this at everyone coming up next.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Want to continue to take these calls at 312-332-3776. We're off to Vegas in a couple of days. These next few days are going to be awesome right here. I mean, we've got White Sox baseball starting Thursday afternoon. We'll have a short show. We'll be on from 1 to 2:30 on Thursday, leading you into White Sox pregame. Friday, we'll have the White Sox on all afternoon. So it looks like we'll be doing our show from Vegas on Saturday, 2 to 6.
Hey. Can't wait.
So, I mean, look, we'll be watching college football during then. We'll do our usual Football Friday show on Saturday. And
Abdallah will be with us, so you can be the point man for the college football information that's being tossed out there.
Been hot on Saturdays, guys. Not going to lie. Been hot on Saturdays.
Oh, good. Yeah, you have. You directed me in the right way with the under on Georgia that we just snuck in. So for those who are in Vegas and are going to Vegas who have asked us, Sylvie, how can we see your show? How can we see Waddle? How can we see Abdallah? How can we see everyone from White Claw and check out the Circa? We will be broadcasting there on Saturday, not Friday. Do we have details yet on where that broadcast is, Abdallah? I know we had a conference call. Now that the White Sox schedule has been set, does Travis have an answer for us yet so I can let the people know?
We will be at Circa.
We will be at Circa. So more details on the where. We were going to do the Friday show on the rooftop. We're hoping to still do that on Saturday. But
yes, I would say odds are that we are going to be at the Legacy Club rooftop on Saturday.
So and I'll tweet it out. So just continue to follow my Twitter handle at Waddle and Sylvie. All of our social media things at ESPN 1000. Is a good place, too. Speaking of that, don't forget, Would You Rather is today. Send us your best Would You Rather entries by tweeting us. And use the hashtag WS Would You Rather. That's WS for Waddle Sylvie. WS Would You Rather. Send them to Black. Send them to Adala. They'll read them in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll give someone a gift card from Grand and Western Liquors.
I've been I've been entertained by some of the entries lately.
I love it. And the debates have continued.
Yeah, it's been good.
It's still very good. So I was writing this down yesterday watching Justin Herbert, and I think it relates to the Bears well. Like, one thought I had watching Justin Herbert was, think if they would have stuck with Tyrod Taylor. Like, would the Chargers be ready to win now? They were a bad team, a sub 500 team, and they did, yes, fire their coach, but what they were able to do is go through the growing pains, and a lot of there weren't as many growing pains as people thought with Justin Herbert. He's great.
He's been really good from the beginning.
But as you pointed out yesterday, I believe their offensive line last year was like ranked 32nd
that
or 31st.
That was what was told to me, was that offensively, based on one of the, it was a Pro Football Focus or somebody else, had the Chargers offensive line ranked below the Bears.
And even with that, they still developed Justin Herbert because of that freak accident with Tyrod Taylor, where they gave him a shot and they punctured something.
I thought it was a lung, wasn't it? They gave him a, I thought it was a painkiller for rib problem and actually pierced his, one of his lungs, I believe.
So, yes, there were growing pains. Yes, it was a sub 500 record. But guess what happened in year two? I don't know what they're going to win, but now all of a sudden they know the answer is Justin Herbert, our guy. The answer is a resounding yes. And in one of the most competitive divisions in all of football, they lead the division right now, don't they?
Yeah, they put it on the Chiefs the week before, and then they went and beat the Raiders last night.
I think analytically they have like a percentage or two better chance to win the division than the Chiefs currently. I think it goes,
Chiefs have got to find some defense.
I think it's Chiefs. It goes Chargers, then Chiefs to win the division. And then I think Raiders, then Broncos.
Well, I mean, listen, like he put on a display last night as well. For a young quarterback to do some of the things that he was doing, like he looks like a veteran with decision-making and how he plays the position. And I had no idea. Like when he came out of Oregon, I was like, okay.
Yeah,
like
right.
I mean, trust me, I was no Oregon, you know, expert. But, like,
it was Tua. Everyone was right. A tank for Tua.
Right. Tua was drafted by the Dolphins ahead of Justin Herbert.
Right, but it's up to the general managers to get it right. So I was watching him, and I was relating to the Bears. And if you want to get it, like, I just think that's another great example. I think a couple of the really good teams out west are really doing well now because they went with their quarterback early. They went with Kyler Murray early. They're undefeated. They've gone through that as they weren't a competitive team to get that out of the way. So it's go time now in year two, year three. Year three for Kyler, year two for Herbert. So I was thinking about the great young quarterbacks. And I'm going to put one guy in here who's a little older. So for our debate purposes, I'm taking Mahomes out. So this is an other than Mahomes, because we
he's
know.
He's in his fifth year.
Well, right, and one guy in there, but this is my game, not yours, so I'm including who I want. There's one, I'm putting. Well, I mean, I'm asking you, this is a debate. Like, I'm putting Dak in this conversation. Dak's a little older, but Mahomes obviously is the guy that we think is on a trajectory, maybe unlike any quarterback in NFL history. So take Mahomes out of the conversation. And when you think about the young quarterbacks in their mid to young 20s, maybe in like Dak is 28. So I went, who do you want? Do you want Josh Allen? Do you want Justin Herbert? Do you want Kyler Murray? Do you want Lamar Jackson? Do you want Dak Prescott? Like I'm trying to think, have I forgotten anybody else in the conversation?
Boy, that's a tough choice. There are no bad decisions there at this point. And it's one of the reasons why I think the NFL's in really good shape going forward.
So even if you want to throw out Dak and maybe you want to throw out Lamar's won an MVP. Like, even of those three, like, do you want Allen, do you want Herbert, or do you want Kyler?
What if you made the cutoff at 25, below 25? Because then you're talking about a more specific group. It eliminates Dak, who's 28. Josh Allen is 25 right now, so it would take him off the board.
No, I want him in there. I want him in there.
So wouldn't most people take Josh Allen? He's accomplished the most?
I don't know. I mean, you're looking at what Kyler Murray's now doing, and you're looking at Justin Herbert. Those are the two guys.
Well,
I mean,
if you're looking at this season alone, it's Kyler and Joe Burrow. Their numbers are the most impressive from that group. They're more impressive than Justin Herbert's, even though Herbert looks the part.
Well, I would say
this. That's part
of it. I would say this. To this point in his second year, I don't know that anybody's better than Justin Herbert.
Like, that's why I want Josh Allen in it. Like,
well,
I think Josh Allen's great.
He is, but Josh Allen at this point wasn't the player that Justin Herbert.
No, I'm saying now. Who do you want now? Do you want
Josh? But my point is when I'm answering your question, I've got to project who Justin Herbert is going to be, because through a year and four games, I don't think you can find anybody who's been better than Justin Herbert over that time frame in their own career.
Right, and look, Josh Allen was more of a project. Didn't he come out of Wyoming? Where did he come from?
I mean, I think he played 10 games his rookie
so
year.
So he was a project. Like, you know, Justin Herbert played in a lot of big games.
It's a good question.
I didn't
like
see the clock.
It's a good question.
We're back in 2 minutes to discuss.